This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Jan, I see you've got so much to chat about today. I'm really looking forward to it. Where are you kicking off?
Yeah, I think the place to kick off is the story that might keep us busy for the whole segment because it's such a deep, convoluted mess that involves so much money is Mirror Trading International. The news breaking today that Justice Roger in the Western Cape has handed down a provisional liquidation order for one of the sets of lawyers who brought an application before the court. And so it looks like MTI is facing liquidation. We've spoken about it briefly in the past, but I've been drawn into the matter because a group calling themselves Anonymous ZA reached out to me around September to let me know that they had discovered a security vulnerability in MTI's back-end systems and had exploited it to scrape the information out of the whole database. People's names, the names on accounts, email addresses, and balances and transaction information chiefly. And it gave real insight into how the scheme was run. And it was eye-opening. And that's the point at which I got roped into the murky world of multi-level marketing schemes and Bitcoin scams like this. So I expect this is going to become part of my investigatory repertoire at my broadband. I've done a couple of investigations over the last few years, and I expect that this new breed of scam is going to be one of the ones that occupies a lot of our time in future because there's just so much money involved. On 14 September, when Anonymous ZA did their last scrape, they said that the number of deposits that went into Mirror Trading International was just under 23,000 Bitcoin. That must have grown over the months because MTI themselves said that their trading pool had increased from 17,000 Bitcoin to 23,000 Bitcoin. And so, it stands to reason that the amount of capital actually injected into the scheme would be well over 23,000 Bitcoin by now. Now, before the huge spike in the Bitcoin price, 23,000 Bitcoin was roughly 6.4 billion Rand. Now it's like 9 billion Rand, after the recent surge in price. And so we're talking about a lot of money, and we're hearing reports of people that have put up life savings, who have taken out loans, who've used their only properties as collateral, to take out big loans to pump money into this get rich quick scheme. And it's going to end in tears for a lot of people, unfortunately.
It's definitely going to end in tears. And, it's very sad. The realization that you've lost so much money comes as a knock. But one of the things that I found most fascinating about this particular case is the fact that people that had Bitcoin or who had bought Bitcoin would transfer that Bitcoin to MTI to trade on their behalf. And they don't realize if they just held on to their Bitcoin or whatever percentage of Bitcoin they had already purchased, they would now be sitting with a profit. Instead, they listened to a tale that their Bitcoin would be traded collectively by this group of individuals and that they would land up very, very wealthy. I had cause to meet with the principals of MTI earlier this year when we were initiating an investigation. I met with Clinton Marks' office in Cresta, yes. I've chatted to Cornelius Johan Steinberg, also known as Joe Stain. That's his alias. And of course, I interacted with their attorneys at that time, which was a very well-known firm of attorneys. And let me tell you this, the red flags were everywhere. The red flags were there. When people start getting paid incentive bonuses, when people start getting paid commissions to bring people in and they start talking about uplines and downlines, you have to ask yourself the question, but hold on. If I'm investing through a friend who's getting a commission, And this is Bitcoin that I already had that was kept in a wallet and was making interest in any case. Why would I want to see my monies initially depleted? And this is what people don't realize. The majority of those funds were used to pay out management bonuses, which they called leadership incentives. It was to pay the downline. And it was very similar in practice to most pyramid schemes. But because they were payouts, it became what we term a Ponzi scheme. And it goes one step further. Because they appeal to specific communities throughout the world, you must remember the majority of investors were South African, but there are tens of thousands of foreigners that have also been taken. Yep. But they were taken by people that they knew. And then it becomes what we call an affinity scam, especially in South Africa, where we saw people from various communities enticing people to invest in this. And the scary thing is if people had done a bit of research, they would have found out that two of the top leadership members of MTI had been very much involved with a previous scheme that went bang, also supposedly involving Bitcoin, called
just
BTC Global.
Yeah,
yep,
just
and you remember BTC?
Yeah, yeah, we did an article at the time. In fact, I didn't write the article. One of my colleagues did. He focuses on crypto. He tends to focus on crypto stuff, which I don't. As I said, now this is going to become part of my repertoire probably because of how I was involved with the MTI investigation. But the article was even titled, "You Should Have Seen That BTC Global Was a Scam from a Mile Away." And you know, that's maybe disrespectful to people who were taken in the scam, but the fact is that, imagine Investec comes to you and they tell you you need to invest your funds with them, and there's this whole complicated referral scheme underneath them, which they call a binary tree, and on the, you know, and you get paid out separate bonuses depending on how much money is on your weakest leg of your binary tree. If that was your retirement annuity, I think any sensible person with any kind of financial knowledge at all would go, why on earth is a large portion of my bonus locked behind this ridiculous affinity scheme? Why can't you just pay me the profits that you make, you know, based on the equities that you've invested in? And so if MTI was this, did have this amazing trading bot, their claim was that they have this, automated trading system that is able to generate profits consistently, I might add, of around 1.5% a day. That's now decreased to 0.5%. In the beginning, it was 10% per week that they promised people. And if they had a bot that could achieve those results, why not just pay people the profits and take your commission? Why is there this massive, ridiculous affinity scheme attached to it? Like, you know, it's one thing to pay, like, to have like a referral, a kind of referral bonus, right? You know, you can tell people, and you know, if you bring someone in, then, you know, you get a discount on this, or your management fee for the year is waived or something like that. You know, you can do a scheme like that, but to have, for those who might have looked into MTI, I'm just going to mention some things. We don't have time to explain it all, but they had a leadership bonus. The leadership bonus was split into part one and part two. Then they had the binary tree bonus. Then they had the quiet founders bonus, that they kept quiet until it was exposed by anonymous ZA. And then they explained that away by saying that no, it was a separate piece of money in a founders pool. It's, The second you have a contrived scheme like that attached to an investment, you need to run screaming for the hills.
It's absolutely bizarre. When one looks at the fact that people honestly trusted those in their above line, and they trusted them because they were friends and family members, the damage that gets done is not just financial. It ruins relationships amongst family members. It ruins relationships amongst friends and colleagues. And therein lies the biggest problem when it comes to Ponzi schemes that are derived out of these affinity scams. But there's
and
a
that's
lot
why they
going
use
on.
Network marketing. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, before I let you off the hook, I wanted to ask you, what were the interactions with this top echelon at MTI like? I never had the privilege to speak to them in person in the end because I made them angry too quickly.
It was very interesting. I had Clinton trying to convince me that I should invest rather than investigate. Invest, don't investigate. So it was bizarre. And then I was told, I will invest on your behalf so you can see that it's legitimate. And I said, please don't do that. And they were quite insistent. And I said, please don't do that. And eventually I started liaising with their legal advisors who were supposedly drafting a 90-page explanation document as to how they were trading and how it was different due to their unique algorithm. And it turned out that all the law firm had been asked was to draft an opinion that this company that had been born out of MTI in South Africa and registered in 2019 with a registered address in Stellenbosch was in fact a registered company. Nothing to do with trading of derivatives, nothing to do with the FSCA or needing an FSB number, merely what the requirements are to register a company in South Africa. So let me tell you this, the very first time I was contacted by the Texas Securities Commission, I immediately responded and copied in the MTI attorney for record. And the attorney for record turned around and said, but why did you copy me in? I said, because you have been told to all of us that you are doing this due diligence. And it's only fair that if you are their legal advisors, when legal correspondence comes, you should be copied in on it. And very shortly thereafter, the Texas Securities Commission lodged a formal inquiry. Their findings were scathing. It was banned. And what they said about these individuals would have let anybody run for the hills. And the warnings were there. The FSCA started coming out with warnings. There were warnings on the IRS Forensic Investigations FB page, on their Twitter page. And people started looking at it. Of course, Anonymous ZA came out with it. But Sherry Marks, who's Clinton's wife and was involved with BTC Global, can spin. And she was trying to spin. And she was sending out these voice notes. And they were making out as if they were being targeted specifically by the FSCA because they were disrupting traditional investments and that they were such a threat. And then it became more and more bizarre, landing up a week or two ago with an email blaming the Freemasons and blaming the banks in South Africa. It just became more and more bizarre. But Jan, before we leave you, let's do a change of subject. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on in the world of tech, specifically with ICASA. We've seen that Telkom suing 5G spectrum and we're hearing that ICASA will mess up the industry. What's that all about?
Yeah, so as people who are listening in might have established, it's definitely not been a quiet week, even though, you know, we're in the at the height of the December break here in South Africa. It's definitely not been a quiet week for tech news. So the spectrum process, the spectrum assignment process for the highly in demand 4G and 5G spectrum that mobile network operators have been begging for, at least some of it, at least the end of that process was scheduled for now, for yesterday. Right. Basically to put in your applications, I should say. So the first deadline, one of the first major deadlines for the process, not the end. Sorry. The first major deadline for the process was yesterday. And so just last week, Telkom contacts us and says, listen, they're filing a notice of motion in the High Court. They're taking like ICASA and the whole industry, like everybody was in there. The Minister of Communications and Digital Services was in there. Digital Technology, sorry, was in there. Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, Liquid Telecom, Rain, or previously Wireless Business Solutions, WBS. Like, they've basically named the whole industry as respondents to this thing. And Telkom arguing fervently that ICASA is about to do deep, deep damage to the telecommunications industry in South Africa if it proceeds with the spectrum auction as it's set out to, and saying that ICASA needs to do more with a spectrum auction to break Vodacom and MTN's duopoly. And they've certainly set the cat amongst the pigeons, but honestly, this is something that should have been anticipated, if not Telkom, then someone else, because the fact is that the process like this is always going to be fraught. And part of the timeline, part of what you need to bake into the timeline is a legal challenge, is heated debates in the industry, because you can't please everyone all the time. And that's been part of the problem, part of the mess and the holdup here, is that ICASA and the government has wanted to please everybody all the time to avoid court, but it's impossible. You have to forge forward with the what you think is going to be the best route forward. Take obviously all informed opinions on board, shape the process that way, and kind of build the best system you can with the information at hand, and fight it out in court. That's the way these processes work.
Jan Vermeulen, editor abroad. Editor-at-large for mybroadband.co.za. I look forward to our next chat.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.